Friday, November 16, 2007. Study class on Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 2 continued. Review verses 7, 8, 9 and begin verse 10. Read and explained by Swami Yogatmananda at the Vedanta Society of Providence, Rhode Island.
Adhachitta chakurendum saundarya sumaho dadhim parat parataram devam brahmananda kripa. Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandadhami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini. In our study of this very comprehensive and practical scripture, Bhagavad Gita, we saw that Arjuna, who is perplexed, confused as to what he should do, what he shouldn't do, and is on the one hand aware of what is right, and also is finding it highly difficult to act according to what he knows what is right, and so sways his balance in the direction of what he is attached to. There is a conflict between what is right and what your attachment is telling you to do. And thus he is finding himself in a terrible mire. And Sri Krishna told him initially that, well, don't succumb to cowardice, don't succumb to this unmanliness. Stand up, call forth your real heroic nature and get rid of this imbecilous weakness. Till now, till then, let us say, or if we want to reflect it on our own selves, let us say, till such situation presents in our life, we keep on supporting our weakness with very flowery language, lot of borrowed philosophy, that how it is very good to be peaceful, how it is so bad to fight a war, and thus our cowardice is given so many props, as if cowardice is a big virtue. So Sri Krishna tells that first don't be coward, first at least do not support yourself saying that this is all, whatever I am doing is out of the bounty of goodness and charity in my heart that I have decided not to fight the war. So when Sri Krishna told him that, Arjuna's that self-confidence woke up he understood, hey, that what he was trying to do was not right. But what was right, he was not able to act according to that. So he surrenders himself to Lord Krishna. That you are my teacher, I am your student, shishyasteham. I am your student, I am your disciple, shadhimam. Lift me up out of this mire. I am drowning. And Arjuna is also aware that no worldly gain will be able to make him get rid of this terrible sorrow. He makes it very clear that I can see that the unchallenged, unrivaled kingdom, not only of this earth, but even of the heaven, will not be able to remove this terrible sorrow. His language is very, very strong. Very clearly he is stating that it is not possible, Rajyam Suranam Apichadhipatyam, that even if this whole kingdom of the gods, that also is presented to me, still my sorrow will not go. And therefore, I am approaching you. You are my teacher. So with that sense of complete surrender, he has approached Shri Krishna. And yet, he is very much like us. That even when we approach the teacher, we approach an expert, let us say, and let alone the great spiritual teacher, even when we approach for some of our, say, health problem, an expert, we have our opinions. We pay money to the doctor and then we'll say that I want to do this. Well, Arjuna also does same thing. He tells Krishna that, oh, you are my teacher, and then says, just advise me what is right, what is not right. I will like to do accordingly. And after telling this, he tells, but I won't be fighting war, don't tell me that. So already the mind is kind of made there, that I don't want to fight the war. Now see Krishna, he is smiling. Why Shri Krishna is smiling? Because there is no conflict there. Nobody else is smiling there. Arjuna is, of course, in terrible condition, can't smile. Shri Krishna sees the dilemma in the minds of Arjuna. And also, he knows the solution. He knows exactly what will cure Arjuna. And therefore, he is smiling. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that when now Shri Krishna starts speaking, his face is shown to be prahasan. He is smiling, laughing. That, look, there is no real problem. The problem is just in your perception. The problem is self-created problem. And so the solution is with us. If some problem is created by us, then we can also do the needful to get rid of it. So, Shri Krishna now starts telling Arjuna, to solve a problem, there are two different ways of solving it or approaching it. One is just providing a superficial quick fix like thing, that temporarily somehow you feel that it is solved. It is not really solved at all. Our dishwasher had gone bad, so those experts, they were called and they did something, but it is still the same, it is not working. So they did not do a thorough study and found out the cause of the problem, did not really fix it. Because the diagnosis probably was not right. So first important thing in effecting the cure is the proper right diagnosis. Without proper diagnosis, the medicine cannot be given. It is okay for the time being that you give some palliative, something to make that person calm down, but that is not cure. Some symptomatic relief can be provided temporarily, but the real cure has to be done after properly diagnosing the problem. And Sri Krishna, therefore, is presenting the diagnosis now. He sees the cause of Arjuna's problem. Arjuna is afflicted by, as he himself said, you start from the symptoms, that shoka means suffering. He is terribly suffering and he tells that I am deluded to moha. Shoka and moha, that tremendous suffering as well as delusion. So where is this delusion from? Sri Krishna says that the cause of this delusion is his attachment on I and mine. This body is I, and all they who are connected with this body, they are mine. Whoever or whatever, and not only whoever, but whatever, in the sense like I am this body, then my father, my mother, my wife, my husband, my this, my that, all these become then mine. Even my enemy, that also is an attachment. It is, somebody is my enemy, just as somebody is my friend is an attachment, somebody is my enemy, that also is another attachment. I and mine. Then in terms of things, my money, my house, my country, my opinions. My opinions, very tough attachment. It is easier to give my property, but very difficult to give my opinions. We are adamant about our opinions, not necessarily because they are right, but because they are mine. You know. It is so, these are all attachments and they become cause of suffering. But one has to go deeper. Why the attachments come? Sri Krishna sees that also. That the attachment comes because of the likes and dislikes, desires. The desires become the cause for the attachments. I like something, I dislike something. So they determine my attachments. Something that I crave for, I hold on to it. That becomes my positive attachment. I want this. And I don't want this. It appears that as if it is not attachment. That is not so. And we sometimes have so much attachment about what I don't like. You think about that I don't like this. 10 times you will repeat in your mind, I don't want this, I don't like this. So that is also an attachment. So likes and dislikes, they become the source of attachment. Go deeper. Sri Krishna doesn't just stop here. Go deeper. The diagnosis has to be done thoroughly. He is not a superficial psychologist. That if somebody is suffering from depression or something, and they will give you some superficial advice. I hear that all the time. Okay, go for some picnic and then you will feel nice. Or just relax, take some sleeping pill and you will feel great. That works. I don't say that it doesn't work at all. For the time being, it works for a little while. When the person goes to a party, meets with friends, they forget the problem. Forgetting a problem is very different from getting rid of the problem. One sometimes confuses between forgetting a problem and getting rid of a problem. Swami Vivekananda gives a nice example that a rabbit was being chased by a fox. The fox was running after the rabbit, And then the rabbit saw that it cannot really escape from the fox by running. So it buried its face in the sand. So what happened was that the rabbit now cannot see the fox. But does it mean that the fox cannot see the rabbit? Now the fox can get the rabbit more easily. So similarly, just because we refuse to see the problem, just because we forget the problem, doesn't mean that the problem forgets us. The problem comes at us rather more strongly. That is what happens, that people get some such superficial advice. It is good if it is followed by the radical cure. If it is followed by a deeper analysis and a deeper solution for it. But usually it is not done. Just, oh wow, this problem, don't worry about it. Take this pill, sleep nicely, and for a while you can go for the picnic, forget about that. It is such things only work temporarily. So therefore, Sri Krishna doesn't work like that. Sri Krishna is going to the root cause. Yes, because of the desires, likes and dislikes, the problem has come. What is the source of likes and dislikes? And the problem, the root cause of the problem is ignorance. Because of ignorance, Arjuna, and like Arjuna, we all take our perception of I and world as real. This is I and this is the world. That our perception of I and mine is taken to be real. The world, as I see it, is taken to be real as it is. My idea about who am I is taken to be real as it is. And thus the desires crop up. Unending desires, they come to the mind. If we analyze, we will see that none of these desires is our real desire. Like desire to get a big house. Many get this desire that, oh, my house is too small, let me get a big house. If this is a real desire, then if you get the big house, you should have become satisfied. It doesn't happen like that. Another desire takes the place of it. Another desire takes the place of it. So, desires keep on continuously coming. And you satisfy one, you feel as if you are satisfying one. And so, are you at peace now? No, a more intense, a very different desire comes and takes place of it. So, therefore, one should easily understand this, if one reflects that none of these desires were my real desires. Because had they been my real desires, if I get it, then I should be satisfied. It doesn't happen. So that was my wrongly thought as my desire. That was not my real desire at all. So, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, or actually he doesn't start telling that right away, but he sees that this is the problem. Ignorance is the problem. The world that we see appears to be so real, and so we want to possess it. Like if I see a nice banana there, and if my sense of hunger tells me, oh, you haven't eaten for last 10 hours, you should eat something, shouldn't starve yourself, there is a nice banana out there, just go and get it and eat it. And thus, with that desire, I go forward, touch the banana and see that it is just looks like banana, it is made of wood. And thus, with that perception, all the desire to eat that banana, will the desire stay then? That desire to eat it vanishes. I cannot eat that, that is made of wood. My perception that it is banana created that, oh, then I must have it. So similarly, about the perception of everything in the world, oh, I want this. How does it come? Because I feel that it is worth possessing, it is worth having. If I get it, then my life will be full of joy. It doesn't happen. We keep on trying again and again, and what happens is, well, frustration becomes the result. When you try to do it 10 times and fail, and the frustration like that builds up. If you try once, you fail. You give it another concerted try, you fail. It is like trying to run after mirage. The more you try, the more frustration will be the result. Because there is nothing like that there. No water there anywhere. So your running after that is not going to be ever fruitful, ever pacifying you. What will happen is that you have to wake up to the fact that it looks like water, but it is not so. We have to wake up to this truth that it looks real, it is not so. So, Sri Krishna is now giving this knowledge. Gradually this knowledge is to be given. The disease being ignorance, the solution automatically is knowledge. The disease being ignorance, what can remove ignorance? Knowledge alone can remove ignorance. So knowledge has to be given. As is the disease, accordingly the medication has to be given. So the disease being ignorance, diagnosis is done. The knowledge now is to be given. The treatment has to be given according to how the person is, at what stage that person is, and how the person can get this knowledge. All people cannot be given the medication in the same way. A grown-up person can be given maybe a pill. If a person is small child, then that very medication has to be converted into a syrup form. The medication is same, but the way of administering it has to become suitable. So similarly, now Arjuna has to be given this medication. Arjuna, very much like we all are, thinking that we are very wise. We don't think that we need any knowledge. We go to universities, we have so many degrees, and we are so intelligent, we understand even the American politics, what to speak of other things. So how intelligent we must be. So it is all this, we think so intelligent we are, we don't need anybody to give knowledge to us. If you are giving money, I am ready to accept. Knowledge, what is it? I don't need it anymore. So, not ready to accept knowledge. We think that we know a lot. So, it is very difficult to now give knowledge. First of all, that need that I must learn must be felt. First, that idea that my worldview is really not right, that idea must be felt inside. So, it is to be given very psychologically. So, the best way to do it is to gradually show the contradiction in what that person was telling. The person is telling something, but the behavior shows that he doesn't know it, just is prattling, has no understanding of it at all. So, Sri Krishna starts with that. अशोचानन्वशोचस्त्वं प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासु न गतासुंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पंडिताः. Let me read the translation. You have been sorrowing for those who should not be grieved for, and yet you are talking learned words. The learned grieve neither for the dead nor for the living. You are grieving and talking big things of knowledge. The point is that you really do not know all these borrowed words you are telling about. Your behavior doesn't suit your words. Your behavior shows that you do not understand what you are talking about. You are just using some words as if you know them, you understand them. No, you really do not understand the meaning of it, because your behavior is very much against that. There is a story of Arthur Conan Doyle. You might have read some of the Sherlock Holmes stories. So that Sherlock Holmes wanted to know, there was a collector of all those China things, and he had something that he wanted. I won't go into the details. Some letter or something he had kept somewhere. So Holmes wanted to go there and find out how the house is, so that sometimes he can get into it and take that thing away. So, but how to get the access? This fellow won't let anybody come. So he decided to pretend that he is also a connoisseur of this China stuff, and borrowed some books and read about them, that Ming dynasty and this and that. A little bit knowledge he collected from some sources, some words, and then took an appointment that I am in this business and I am very interested, and I know that you are a great collector. Please give me some time, we would like to discuss these things. So he invited him. But after a couple of sentences, this man understood that this Holmes, although he is talking about those things, really doesn't understand a single thing. So he asked him some pointed questions. And then all the ignorance came out, and this man took the gun out, and this Sherlock Holmes took to heels and ran out. So it is like that, the words, as if you know everything. But really there is no knowledge. At the functional level there is no knowledge. At the prattling level, lot of knowledge. But at the functional level there is no knowledge. You can talk a lot. You know, we all can give good lectures on the compassion and the virtue of not getting into wars, and what is the right and what is not right. But when it comes to functional level, where are we? So Sri Krishna is showing this contradiction to Arjuna, that here you are talking like a big saint, that everywhere, you know, you should not get into the wars, and what will happen if we get into the war, so many problems will come. But these are all the words coming out because of cowardice, not because of knowledge. So Sri Krishna points it out to him, that do you really live up to these words? You are talking these things, that's all. You do not really have any understanding of these words, because you are grieving for those, thinking that as bodies they are real and you are going to kill them. And what does it mean that you really do not have the knowledge? Those who have the knowledge, they don't grieve for such things. That they know that the person as self is immortal. They do not think that those who live, they live merely as bodies. The body is just an outer covering. They know that. And you do not know, you do not understand this, and yet you have borrowed their words. It is just a borrowed wisdom. this is not really your nature. It is not that you from inside are speaking like that just to avoid performing your duty. You are talking these words. Arjuna is not really going to be satisfied by running away from the war. In the 18th chapter, Sri Krishna tells him very clearly that, look, what you wouldn't have done now, you might have avoided this war, run away, but your nature would have made you again to fight. Because that is what you perceive. Your perception is that these Kauravas, these vicious and vile cousins of ours, they need to be taught a lesson. That idea of revenge and having justice done is so strong in you that your nature will force you to start this war. So therefore, it is not that you really are talking according to your knowledge. Somehow, now having been overtaken by all these attachments, you want to avoid, and so you are talking like that. So, Ashochan, Anvashochastam, you are grieving for those like these Bhishma, Drona and all of them who have lived a good life, a fruitful life. The life, just as being born, is, and that something has come up. What does it mean? Now it is changing continuously. Birth and death, they are really, the process is going on, that's all. It is, birth is the one point in that process. Somebody is born. Without death, it will come later. Without death, there is no birth, and every birth will be preceded by death. In fact, what we call life is just marching towards death. That is what we call living. Living means that gradually you are progressing towards a certain death. So you are really dying, and that is what is called as living. The process of death is slowly going on, may culminate after say 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, whatever. But when the person dies, means what? The process of death was going on for 70, 80 years or so. So the person was really dying for 70 years, what we say, living for 70 years. So life and death is really like that, synonymous. It is, you say that you will be killing them as if it is what can you do? You cannot kill them. It is, the bodies will come into picture, they will stay, they will go away. According to their karma, they will get the results. You do not understand these things, and yet you talk like a wise man. Your words would have made a saint, you know, that they have become a saint. But your life is not like a saint. Your life is like an ordinary person afflicted with all these attachments and all that. So these words do not really become you. So the first thing that is necessary to be done is to show that man that your thinking is full of contradictions. What you are talking is full of contradictions. Don't you see these contradictions? So when that person is able to see the contradiction, then that understanding seeps in, that probably I am making some mistake. It is very difficult to come to this idea that I am mistaken. And generally the idea is I am right, the others are wrong. So, to remove this, Sri Krishna is telling that, look, they see the contradiction between your words and your actions. Your behavior does not conform to the words that are coming out of your mouth. So, he tells that नत्वेवाहं जातु नासं नत्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम्। It is not indeed that I did not exist at any time, nor you, nor these kings, nor that day we all shall not exist hereafter. Our existence is not limited to the body. Our existence was there all the time. Not that before coming on this earth we did not exist, and after a little while we all will not exist. We all exist. See, a very important point to understand that Vedanta preaches that we are really immortal. Our soul never really dies because of the death of the body. When one is born, what has happened? That the person has come in a new dress, in a new body means in a new dress. And do you think that before you bought some new shirt, you didn't exist only after you put on this new shirt and now you started existing? And if that shirt is taken away, you will be gone? Nobody thinks like that. So similarly, this body is like a shirt. If it is taken out, that doesn't mean that the person is dying, nor does it mean that if the person is staying like that, it is that before this shirt was gotten, he wasn't there. This body, before one got into the body, one was, and even after the body is gone, the person is going to be there, because our vision is limited only to the physical appearance. We are fooled that the person comes and goes. It is very much like, you know, that if you turn on the TV, maybe you will see somebody there talking, so you see that the person came in when you started the TV. You turn off the TV, do you think that the person is dead because you have turned off the TV? It is just because the things came to our perception, not that they have come into existence then. And just because are not anymore perceived by us, doesn't mean that they have gone. It is not the right thinking. All these that you see, Sri Krishna is showing all them, that whom you think that you will be killing or they will be killing you and all that stuff, that they don't think that they were not as before coming, before taking birth in these bodies, and don't think that they will not be there after these bodies are gone. They are eternal in that sense, that the bodies keep on changing. This theme will be elucidated now, a very important theme. It is in a few verses to come, this idea will be elaborated in all details. One example is now given to make you understand. Focus is to be now on this. See what changes and what does not change. Let us try to analyze that. In our existence, we have this combination of change and not change. Something changes that we see all the time, and yet we have a very strong faith, very strong conviction, let us say, that I do not change. I am. This is proper way to start our analysis, that changing aspect and unchanging aspect. Our experience, especially our experience about ourselves, there is the body which keeps on continuously changing. It is when born, maybe say when 2-3 months old, it didn't look like this. It went on changing and now has the body has got this appearance. But I am still sure that that was my body then. It is my body now. If I see my picture, photograph taken when I was say 3 months old, and they would say, this is, you were looking like this then. And you used to look like this. So what happened? The body changed. I survived. And without this firm conviction that I remain the same, our life will not be possible. Think of this, that suppose, because the body changes, you also change, what will be the result? Suppose you decided that you will come to this Bhagavad Gita class on this Friday, maybe a week ago. Now in 1 week the body changed. So did who attended then the Bhagavad Gita class? Who decided to attend the Bhagavad Gita class? And who came? Are they not the same persons? Will you believe that they are not the same persons? Even if somebody tells you, no, somebody decided that he or she will come to Bhagavad Gita class, and somebody else came, and then what happened to that fellow who decided? It is without the firm conviction that I am unchanging, our life will not go at all. If we are continuously changing like the body, there is changing body is a fact. We don't need to argue about it. Everybody is convinced that the body changes. But the unchanging principle, it is body continuously changing. You go to sleep and wake up. Do you feel that a different person has woken up? The same person. That with all those, that baggage, that about you, that same, everything comes with you. It is, the body keeps on changing, and yet the unchanging principle, I, that did not change. That remained the same, and this idea is now being told. Separate the indweller of the body and the body, the one who dwells in the body and the body itself. Think of that. You can easily see from various angles that you are not the body, and yet there is some association, some connection between this piece of flesh and blood and so forth and what you call as you. Some connection is there, but you certainly is not that. It is that this body is seen. This is one of the examples that Shankaracharya gives to illustrate it. Just as you see this microphone, and Shankaracharya didn't give example of microphone. I am telling that this idea that just as you see the external things, you can see your body too. So body is something that is seen and not the seer. Just as I see the book, the book is different from me. I see the book. Similarly, I see the body. So the seer is different from the seen. The I is different from the body. There is a very beautiful book called Drik Drishya Vivek. Sanskrit book title is Drik Drishya Vivek. The separation between the seer and the seen, understanding the separateness of the seer and the seen, seer and seen, seer unchanging, seen continuously changing. So, he comes to this concept now here, that Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuihati. Very beautiful idea that, let me read the translation. Even as the embodied self attains in this body childhood, youth and old age, so does it attain another body. The wise man does not get deluded at this. See, what a beautiful, psychologically most appropriate explanation that Arjuna and likes of Arjuna we should find easy to understand. That death is just another link in this chain. Death is nothing very different from the other changes, just one next link in the same chain. In this body itself you experience, and you are convinced, everybody is convinced that I was a child, I grow up as a youth, I am an old man, I grew up as an old man, if not till now, if you have not grown up as an old man, eventually one will grow up as an old man. In United States, difficult to grow as old man. Nobody becomes old, that is. So, wants to show that we are so young even now. So, it is, one becomes in this body itself that the child grew up, become youth, becomes old man or woman. And similarly now, what is the next link? Death. Quite logical, isn't it? That is how the things are progressing. So when the first things were happening, you didn't show any surprise. Do you ever say, hey, what, how this fellow from child became young? What an impossibility, how could this happen? Nobody ever says like that. This is all very well expected, that the child has to grow up, become a youth. That is what we call time. Yes, it is a process of change. The body has changed. Then, the same person now has become old. And then, is going to die. The next, why you show suddenly surprise about dying? Why the fellow died? We say, why the fellow died? How shocking that the fellow died. Do you say, how shocking that the fellow became young man, was 3 years old. Wow, became 10 years old. Wow, how shocking an information. Nobody says like that. It is all expected. It is all so simple. It is the changes taking place in the body. It is, on this path, the next link in this chain is, the body will be discarded. Do you not do the same thing with your garments too? Yes, a shirt is bought, wow, new shirt, you show off, like the children, they show off things. So you, a new shirt. You put it on for a while, some years, then becomes discolored or worn out, and then you discard it. Similarly, this body also, you took it on, used it for a while when it was useful. Now the utility becomes more and more reduced gradually. You cannot use the body much when it becomes old. You cannot do all the functions that you used to do. So, like the old car, you keep it with you for some time, then the maintenance becomes too costly, moreover it is not reliable anymore. So what happens now? You buy a new one. Do you grieve when you buy a new one? When you buy another car, you feel happy. Wow, I bought new car, you know. So it is. Similarly, when you see that this body is now not very useful, so and it requires lot of maintenance, too expensive to maintain. So you take up another body and discard this. First you take another one and then discard this. Just as you are working with the car, somehow it is not good, but well, better than not having any. So you keep it till you buy another one, then you discard this one. So you get another body first and then discard this one. So Sri Krishna is telling, isn't it simple to understand that while in this body you underwent through these changes, you took them to be just very natural. The indweller underwent so many changes. That was a child, then youth, old age, so death. Why one should be so feeling so much grief about it? Don't feel such grief. Dhiras tatra namuhyati. The intelligent person, the wise person, therefore says, dhiras tatra namuhyati. The wise person therefore does not feel deluded. Just as when somebody becomes from childhood to youth, you don't say that where the fellow has gone. You don't see the person there. The body is different, but you know the same person. That is how we identify each other. I remember my relation, a very old woman. She saw me when I was about, say, 3 years old or so. And then I didn't get a chance to see her for maybe about 15, 16 years. And then once I went to her, and well, she also had undergone in 15, 16 years some changes. But then I said, do you recognize me? Now she started looking into all those files of memory, something, if it fits. And after a while, immediately say, hey, yay, so now I know. Oh, how, what a sea of change. I never thought you will become like this. Oh, and you are the same person. That recognition, you know, that recognition came in the Buddhist philosophy, or even in tantric ideas. This word is used, therefore, when you recognize your real self, it is recognition. Recognition comes, pratyabhijna, recognition. You recognize, oh, I am really God, oh, I am not this body, I am really divine, I am immortal. That recognition comes, and it is then with that recognition all bonds are cut asunder. It is the recognition comes that I am divine, now we have forgotten, and so we are suffering, and it is this body, I am this body. So suffering is the result. When the recognition comes that I am divine, then no problems, no delusion anymore, and no delusion related problems either. So Sri Krishna is slowly instilling this understanding in Arjuna that while in this body you underwent so many changes. Similarly, death is just another change. It is sure to happen. So the wise people do not grieve about it. It is not that the person has gone. See, it is something like that. You were seeing a person, suppose you are walking and you are seeing a person in front of you. You are walking in the same direction, and for a while you were seeing that person. After 2 minutes, there came a turn, and the person turned, say, towards left or whatever. And as the person took a left turn, now you are not able to see that person. Would you say, oh, dead, gone? No. Well, took a turn, he is on that street now. So, similarly, the journey is going on, somewhere there comes a turn. That doesn't mean that it is gone. You are not seeing it, that's all. So, this is the great principle of immortality of soul. For some more verses, this idea will continue. A great, very profound idea and very important for our understanding of who we are and what this world means to us. There isn't much time now, so if you have some questions, this is a good time to ask. Yes, Ram?
So, I'm having small difficulty in this. So, my difficulty is where to stop. Like, we know it is easy to understand the body is changeable. Okay, understand it. Then, we go to the next level. The mind is also changeable. You know, the mind also at some point doesn't exist. Okay, so it is not also immortal. Then go to the jivatma. Jivatma is also gets into delusion, gets out of delusion, it is also not. Then we go to the Atman. So there we reach one state, okay, we can say that now there is immortality. But then there is no duality, so I can't speak of I, you, king. So then since this statement should have been more appropriate to say that there never was a time when I existed or you existed or these rulers existed, and there will never be a time when any one of us will exist.
So that's a very good question. Now this a statement is made about just the changing body and unchanging, relatively unchanging indweller. The Supreme Self that is same in all, Arjuna is not likely to feel it at this stage. The understanding is to be given in the appropriate doses. So the first thing is just learn to separate the body, the gross body, and something that is in that gross body. It is not that because you have studied lot of Vedanta, so you know that the mind is there, that is also changing. That is true. But here, the first thing is see the body, the gross body, about which Arjuna was worried, that he will be killing them and they will be killing him. So first thing to teach is that this first sheath called the food sheath or the Annamaya Kosha, this gross body, that is not you. Then will follow what you say, that the next thing. But at this level, the multiplicity exists, the level of minds, that where the actions are in their microprocess forms are stored. So here it is only shown up to this level that you are separate from the body, the gross body. After this understanding, then will come the next understanding. So it is step by step the illumination is being given. Any other question? I thought there will be a lot of questions on this. Yes?
Okay, I was just going to ask, when you say the fear does not change, but so how can we approach seeing the ego as doer and the ego as experience? What's the difference between that?
The ego becomes also seen. It is gradually, it is like what he was asking, similarly, you know, that peeling of the onion. It is, you feel that the outer skin is to be taken off. Same idea, that where to stop. It is, you took out the outer skin and feel that this now inside is the real onion. But then that also appears like skin, you feel that the real onion must be inside. Take it off. Like that, keep on, and ultimately nothing will be left. So, all those are the skins. So what is onion then? All that was, everything was really onion. And everything that you can specify, everything that can be handled, that is all the sheets. So what remains cannot be specified. What remains then is all pervading. So there is no I, you or any description there. But at the level where you can see that you are separate from the gross body, there still there is the separation between this and this, the indweller of this body and indweller of that body and indweller of Yamuna's body. We cannot just say that the indweller of Yogatmananda's body is same as the indweller of Ram's body and same as the indweller of Yamuna's body. That will not be appropriate here. But if you keep on peeling more, then at one stage, every time when you peel, you reach a higher level of unity. Every peeling will bring a higher level of unity. When the peeling is complete, there will be no duality. So, here, to take Arjuna to that stage, the first thing is given, just analyze this, that you are distinct, separate from this physical body. So, up to that, this is mentioned here. That is the principle of reincarnation, that the inner instrument is taken by the soul and put in a new outer covering. This body is an outer covering, and there is the in another covering. So do not grieve just because this covering is worn out and needs to be thrown away. So this is the idea given, that Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, please try to see the deeper layer of your being and just go beyond this appearance of body. So then he will come gradually to the next ideas of the all-pervading self. That will come in this chapter itself, but slowly, not immediately. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.